The date today is 13th of April 2011. Margaret Green is going to give us a recording of her life and working experience in Orwell. Now, Margaret, I don't believe you were born in Orwell. You were born elsewhere, I think, and then came to live in Orwell. Am I correct?
Yes, that's right. I was born just along the road at Barrington and spent the first 11 years of my life there, attending the local village school. We did have connections with Orwell because we had an aunt living here. My father's job changed. The farm was sold where he worked, so he had to find new employment, and he came to work at Meadowcroft Farm in Orwell. So we moved to Orwell in 1950, where I went to Orwell to school for a short time, and then we were all transferred at 11 to the temporary school in Wimpole Park at Arrington, where I continued until I was 15. I left school at 15. It was the last Friday in July when we had August bank holiday at the beginning of the month, and I started work at Huddlestone's shop on the Tuesday morning. I only did a half day because Tuesday was early closing, so that broke me in nicely. I started, I'd had no official interview for it. You just went and saw people and talked to them, and they said, right, we'll give you a job. My starting wage was to be 27 shillings and sixpence a week, from which I was deducted for the first 4 weeks 5 shillings a week to cover the cost of my overalls, and a small amount was deducted for national insurance. There were several people working at the shop. There was Mr. Donald Huddlestone, who was in charge. There was 2 van drivers. That I made up the number to 3 girls working on the grocery counter and 1 on the drapery. My first job on that Tuesday morning, I was presented with a 200 weight bag of sugar, granulated sugar, tipped into a drawer, a scoop and a pile of blue paper bags, and I was told to weigh into 2 pounds. Well, scales in those days flew up and down if you got too much in it or not enough, so we had some fun and games. But I eventually got the hang of it, and I got my section on the counter full of my 2 pound bags of sugar. And along came Mr. Donald, and he said, we'll now show you how to wrap them. Well, he could wrap them just like that. He tipped upside down and nothing came out. And then he left me to wrap my own. Well, I worked my way through it, struggled, because bags were stiff and I really didn't know quite which way I was moving it. But I eventually got them all done, and he came along to check them, and he picked them all up one at a time and tipped them upside down, and if one grain of sugar came out, they came undone and you wrapped them again, which was even more difficult. But we overcome that. We also had to weigh up dried fruit. We had currants and sultanas would come in 40-pound blocks, and one of the yard men, the van drivers, would break them up and bring them and tip them into a drawer, and we just weighed them up as we needed them for orders. And after several weeks of spending my Tuesday mornings weighing sugar, I progressed on to weighing lard, which was much easier because you'd only got a 28-pound block, and if when you got the hang of it, you could cut it with the cheese wire. So there wasn't much left really to do. You always had one dread at the back of your mind that while you were in the middle of it, weights and measures would walk in and they would weigh them all and tell you whether you'd got it right or not. So you always kept an eye on the door and, you know, made sure you were right.
How frequently would they come round to check? Once a month?
No, not once a month. I suppose perhaps twice a year. But it was never, you may have two visits, quick, and then go a long time. And sometimes you would find that they lived reasonably locally, and you'd find they'd turn up to do their shopping, so you had to be on the ball with it all the time. And so this is how we went on. We weighed these things. We weighed biscuits, loose biscuits. We had them in a stand with glass lids on the top. We weighed all them. We got up orders for people. I spent a bit of time. I had to spend a bit of time on the drapery counter because I had to know how to tie the parcels right, so that if Mr. Donald went to sell somebody something out of a parcel, he pulled the string and the parcel fell undone. No knots in the wrong place. That was something else that took quite a bit of getting right, but we managed it. But most of my time I spent on the grocery department. I learned how to bone a side of bacon, roll a ham, cut joints of bacon for people for boiling, and we got up orders. You'd perhaps go out on your bicycle around the villages and collect up people's orders and come back, and then we'd get them ready, and you may find you was put on the van then to go and deliver them.
How many villages, how far away were they? How local?
Fairly local. You know, Harlton, Everston, Wimpole. That was the Grandstone that I did when I went to Caxton, because they had five shops. They'd got all Everston, Arrington, Bourne and Caxton. And in the summer time, or if someone was ill and they were short-staffed, I was the one that got posted out to go and help them. So then I would perhaps be delivering to Caxton and Grandston and all these sort of way-out places out in the wilds, the Hatleys. And I'd perhaps be taken from here to Arrington mostly by about 8 in the morning, and you were lucky if you were home by 9 o'clock at night.
I was going to ask you, what sort of hours did you work?
The basic hours were 9 till 6, and the shop was closed for an hour from 1 till 2 for dinner. We had a cup of tea in the morning and we had one in the afternoon, but you had that as and when you could get it. If you were busy when the tea was made, you got cold tea, and if you wasn't, you were lucky and you got a hot cup. But this is how it all went, and they just used to get people came in, and you were expected to know what they wanted in their order. If they asked for something, you were expected to know what brand they had, what size they had, and if they were a likely person that would say, well, that's all right, if you haven't got that brand, I'll have another one. Someone else would say, I don't want that, I want what I want. And you had to deal with the situation as it arose. I'm going to say, there was one gentleman, I think of him as an old man, but he wasn't all that old. When I look at his gravestone now, he wasn't all that old when he died. But he'd come and sit on the chair in the shop on a Friday afternoon and he'd say, I'll have 1/10. And you were supposed to know what that was. You were to produce 1/10. And he would be very hurt if you didn't know what he wanted. You learnt, and you learnt who you could, encourage to have something else, to try something else. But you also, when you went out delivering, it was quite a different situation. If you got into someone's home, they opened up in quite a different way. You were expected If someone was ill, to go and see them, if they were in bed or in the front room. If someone died, it was your duty to go and excuse me, see them in the coffin, laying in the front room. Or if somebody wanted some advice, they'd say to you, do you think, will you go and look at my husband? Do you think I ought to have the doctor? Well, at 17, 18, you haven't got much idea, really. At that stage, we hadn't had much, you know, to do with that sort of thing. Having come from a female family, we certainly weren't used to dealing with men, men's ailments, and what they got up to. But you were, and they opened up and told you all sorts of things. And you were expected to, that was part of your duty as the delivery girl, grocery girl, call you whatever we were. We had no proper job titles, we were just a shop assistant and that was it. But, you know, people did open up quite differently. You got quite a different view of people and their lives from them in their home than you did when you met them in the shop.
And after you had perhaps experienced this in their home, were they any different to you when they next saw you in the shop, or did it revert to the same?
That was the same. That was for home shop was a different thing. But having tried my hands at most of these things, after I'd done 6 months, I did have a pay rise, and I had 32 and 6 a week. And by that time, I'd paid for my overalls, so I was quite wealthy. And I did that for Huddlestones. We used to do all sorts of other things. We used to dress the windows and sell somebody some saucepans or all these sorts of bits and pieces, seeds, fireworks, paraffin oil. You'd go out in the yard and run a gallon of paraffin for somebody. And just you did whatever came along. And you got everything off the shelf for everybody. Nobody went round the shelves and helped themselves. They asked you for it and you had to go and get it. So sometimes we had a good run round. When we got to Christmas, you would find that, yes, we had used to work late. Especially when you had to start weighing up Brussels sprouts full of ice and all that sort of thing for people for Christmas. Sometimes it was quite late at night. But basically, we didn't work much after 6:30.
You would not have got paid overtime, though?
No. You accepted that as part of the job, that the job wasn't completed and you worked on. And I did that for Huddlestones sold up as a family business.
Cannot think when.
But I can't really think when it was, but I would say it was late 50s, early 60s. And a couple had it for a short time and then they sold it to a couple from London, East End, who had it, hadn't really any experience of grocery work at all. But they stayed there and I stayed with them for a number of years, well, until 1966, when there was an opportunity arose down at Miller's Stores. And I went down to work for David and his father. And at that stage, I learnt to drive. So I used to take the van out then, delivering, still carried on with the delivering. We got up orders. But by that stage, things were beginning to move on. And they'd just had the extension put on the shop, the first extension, what they called the warehouse. And people were encouraged to walk out there. We had things on the shelves and people were encouraged to start to use it as a supermarket. And some people chose to go and help themselves. Others still chose to be served, which we did. We still got off orders. We still delivered them. We didn't weigh up sugar by then. and dried fruit, most of it by that stage had got on to being pre-packed. And I went out delivering, same sort of conditions. You saw people, you saw them in their home with their families, visited them when they were sick and asked about members of the family that had moved away. And there was only one thing I never got caught up with, and that was delivering a baby. I did get caught up in most other things, but not that. But that was just part of life, and I carried on there then. I used to do, I did more on the provision side of it, and I dealt with all the cheese and bacon, cooking hams, boning bacon, boning a side of bacon. I'd like a knife now and a side of bacon to see if I could still do it. And that went on until they sold the shop. David's father retired, and David, and they gave up. And there was another couple came in for, and they again came just for a short time, which hadn't much idea of grocery shopping. He'd been a bank manager. And they only stayed for about a year. And then Mr. and Mrs. Blake came in, a very nice couple, which I got on very well with. Bob had done grocery apprentice as a boy, and then he'd worked in Green Grocery in Covent Garden and was well up in the top ranks of that. So we had a very, very good Green Grocery section all the time then. And I worked with them, they were here for 9 years. In that time, they must have had quite a lot of confidence in me. They used to go off abroad for holiday and leave me the shop to myself. I used to move in and look after that, the shop and the house and the dogs.
Did you enjoy that, though?
Yes, I did enjoy that, yes.
And how long would they go for? A week, 2 weeks?
2 weeks was the most they went for. The first time they went, they only went for a week, but they did go for two after that, yeah. And then, because they retired, and they moved down to Devon, and I went up and down to Devon. Well, I used to go twice a year, didn't I? Mm-hmm. While they were able, and I used to go and had some very nice holidays with them. It was interesting work. It was hard work, but it was interesting work because you got involved with people. All sorts of things happened, you know, all sorts of little things used to happen when you went to out to deliver. You'd perhaps say, well, I've got to go and see so-and-so now with some groceries, and somebody else would say, well, if you don't come out very quick, I'll come and see if you're all right. But this was just general things that happened as you went along. I could add lots more bits to it, but I don't think I ought to.